Well, good evening. Thank you for coming out. We just returned from a closed session, and I'm going to ask our city attorney to report on any actionable items.
There was no reportable action.
Thank you. We'll begin with a call of the meeting to order and a pledge of allegiance by Councilwoman Moreno.
Please join me in a pledge to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you. First item is approval of the agenda.
I'll move approval of the agenda.
Oh, I made a mistake. We should do our roll call first, then we'll go to that. It's such a short meeting, I was just jumping right on ahead. Let's do our roll call first, please.
Councilmember Borbo.
Here.
Councilmember Moreno.
Here.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie.
Here.
Mayor O'Malley.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Now, approval of the agenda.
I move approval of the agenda.
Second.
The motion by Councilmember Borbo, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbo?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
Motion passes by vote.
Thank you. Is Mr. Peter Williamson in the audience? We have a presentation tonight from SlowCog Rideshare about Bike to School Day on May 9th and Bike to Work Day on May 18th. Welcome.
And I'm the Employer Outreach Coordinator at the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. SlowCog is our region's agency responsible for transportation planning and funding. Our rideshare division has outreach programs for our county's K-12 schools, parents, teachers, persons with disabilities, seniors, travelers, and of course commuters. So I'm here today to fill you in on our upcoming Bike to Work Day, which is May 18th, and our Commuter Challenge, which runs May 1st through the 18th, and our Bike to School Day on May 9th. So first off, I would like everyone here to think about joining us for the biggest celebration of bikes and biking to work on Friday, May 18th. You can use the hashtag #LetsGetVisible on social media to share your experience that day. And I want to ask, does anybody have a Bike Month or Bike to Work Day shirt from a year past? Nobody here. We got one. There we go. All right. So there's a few people who could use a shirt around here to support biking in the county. It's $10. It's rideshare.org/store. And we'll see if that color works on me. So let's talk a little bit about May 18th. We are going to have group rides, exclusive giveaways, the chance to win a free bike. And so with those group rides, we have Mayor Harmon and Slow, Member Davis, in Morro Bay, Member Barnack and Rogue Grande, Mayor Martin and Paso, all doing some group rides, so no pressure on the council, but if you wanted to get involved with a little dignitary ride, you could reach out to me, make something happen. There is currently one planned ride here in Atascadero. It's actually going to be from right here to Atascadero State Hospital. I will be on there. Ash is planning to capture the event on film so we can highlight Atascadero's participation on Bike to Work Day. So you could be famous. Just join us at 7 a.m. on May 18th, right? And we will have 12 Bike to Work Day stations located throughout the county, and the closest will be at Atascadero State Hospital. K-Man Cycler is going to be hosting. It'll be right there at the vehicle entrance. So make sure and support your only Atascadero Bike to Work Day station. The next closest heading south, Morro Bay City Hall, Cal Poly, Tenover Studio, etc. The after party is once again going to be at the Slow Guild Hall. And at this party, we're going to announce who won that bike. We're going to say who won the commuter challenges. If you're worn out from that morning ride, we get that, which is why we're doing a first ever live event. So you can join the Facebook Live, and you don't have to be present to win the bike, which is new this year. I'm pretty cool. And then leading up to Bike to Work Day, you can compete in a variety of commuter challenges for the annual title trophy. You see one of those right there in the front. Just wanted to give you a little taste of that. before I take it away and you have to earn it. And then we have the free membership with the League of American Bicyclists as well for the employers that win their size category. So you can see the different size categories up there. You can also compete with friends, family, or coworkers in that team challenge or as an individual in the bike mileage challenge. So a couple things are pretty different this year. We're splitting up the big ones, Cal Poly, Mind, Body, and the county by department. That's going to give a lot of the other employers a chance to win. So the city staff could step up, win a trophy for a Tascadero. And then we're also changing it up. We're going to open this up so that if you're carpooling, taking the bus or walking, you're going to be part of this challenge. Less cars, more bikes, right? We can all agree that that's good. So any alternatives, the normal, they're going to be 1 point per day. And if you're biking, that's 2 points per day. And if you're doing multimodal, maybe biking to your carpool or doing a bike bus kind of thing, that's going to be 3 points per day. So pretty exciting. It reflects our multimodal goals as a county and allows anyone to participate in that annual commuter challenge. Switching topics a little bit here, we have any parents in the audience or kids, teachers, a few people? All right, there we go. Found the route audience. Bike to School Day is May 9th, and there are going to be a lot of things happening. We have Creston, Carriza Plains, Santa Margarita Elementary, Atascadero High School, San Gabriel, Monterey Road, San Benito, they're all participating. So that's about half the district. And if your school isn't on that yet, there's still some time to get involved. My cards are in the back, and you can reach out to us and get involved in Bike to School Day. So get on your bike that day with the kids. There's going to be some fun giveaways and activities. We just dropped off all the stickers, posters, pencils, et cetera, today. And you can also win a Peak bike rack for your school. The school with the biggest participation will win that. So you can learn more about the Bike to School Day Challenge as well as Bike to School Day at saferoutes.org. If anybody's wondering what happened to Bike Month, don't worry, May is still considered National Bike Month. We are letting the community and Bike Slow County take over at slowshift.org. There's going to be breakfast, group rides, a lot of fun activities all month long, pretty much every day in May. And you can find all those again at slowshift.org. I'll be at a lot of those. I just won't be coordinating them. So you can contact us regarding the Bike to Work Day, Bike to School Day, by calling 597-8022. That's me. Or emailing info@rideshare.org. And you can also go to rideshare.org/BTWD. So that is it for me. Thank you to the council for allowing me to tell you what's coming up. And hopefully we'll make these more successful than ever this year. Any questions?
Thank you. Any council member questions? And, of course, to point out that San Luis Council of Governments is made up of, and for the most part, the seven mayors and the five county supervisors. And we focus primarily on transportation issues countywide, but that also includes funding for safe rides to the safe routes to school. And we are also able to get funded what's referred to as the missing link, that connector between Atascadero and Templeton that's kind of a missing piece for bicycle safety and transportation. So we're pleased with all that the Council of Governments can do and also this particular Bike to Month activities.
Doing a Cycle Day Mile this year?
Cycle Day Mile is coming up too. I got that started years ago and it just passed me by, but I like to continue to support that. My favorite episode was starting out here having a race with all the kids to free movie and a pizza, and you should have seen how quick everybody passed me by, but a great event. Thank you. Next item is our consent calendar, and that is made up of items considered to be routine, not a lot of discussion, and can be passed with a motion unless there's anyone on council wishing to pull an item for further discussion or a member of the public. How about any council member? No, any member of the public wishing to pull a consent calendar item? Seeing none, we'd entertain a motion.
I move approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie, seconded by Councilmember Sturdivant. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Burpo?
Yes.
Councilmember Miranda?
Yes, ma'am.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Next item is updates from the city manager.
Thank you, Mayor and council members.
First thing I want to talk about tonight is Children's Day at the Park and Party for the Planet, both of which occurred last Saturday. It was a fantastic combo event. We had a record number at the zoo for this year's Party for the Planet with over 700 visitors during Party for the Planet hours. And Children's Day in the Park was also very busy and quite successful. They had carnival wristbands, which combined the zoo's Party for the Planet activities and the Children's Day in the Park bounce houses, and those were a very hot ticket item, and it was absolutely a gorgeous day and seemed to be enjoyed by everyone. So great event, a lot of good. We have another great event coming up. That is Brew at the Zoo. That is this Saturday. Quite a different event. You will have to be 21 and older to attend this event. Even our designated drivers will have to be 21 and older. So there is no one allowed under 21 years of age. Come celebrate with the animals at the zoo with a very fun evening in a beautiful and exclusive setting. This event will have a wide variety of craft beer, wine, and cider from many local vendors, as well as A&W root beer and non-alcoholic cocktails on tap for our designated drivers. Entertainment will include a terrific local duo, Bear Market Riot, and with their power folk Americana music. We'll have karaoke, hula hoop, and dance contests, which are always a lot of fun, so everyone can have a chance to win some great prizes. There's going to be a variety of food available for purchase, including stuffed jalapenos, pulled pork sandwiches, tacos, tamales, wood fire pizza, hamburgers, and corned beef sliders, along with kettle corn, ice cream, cookies, and much more. So it's going to be a fun night. The tickets are available now at visitatascadero.com or at the Atascadero Chamber of Commerce. They're helping us out by selling all of those tickets, and they will be on hand that night. If we have any remaining tickets to sell that night, and help us get people through the gate. Early bird tickets are $30 per person. They include all the tastings of all the beer, wine, cider, and the non-alcoholic beverages. Again, the food's for purchase. If you're not all sold out, tickets will be $35 per person at the door, and designated driver tickets are $5. We also have another fun event coming up, and it's going to be the City of Atascadero Fire and Emergency Services' second annual open house. This will be held at Fire Station Number 1 on Saturday, May 5th from 10 to 2. That's at the corner of Traffic Way and Lewis Avenue there. The event is an opportunity for everyone to come see the inner workings of the department through really interesting and fun interactive displays and activities. The open house is free, and all ages are welcome to come and enjoy the activities that are being planned. The Firefighters Association will provide barbecue hot dogs while supplies last, and will also be accepting donations for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. You'll be able to meet our firefighters and go on walkthrough tours of Fire Station Number 1. Firefighters will be giving fire safety tips, fire apparatus displays, and we'll have fun activities for the children, including the Slo County Fire Chief's Fire Safety House. Firefighters will perform rescue and fire demonstrations at 11 and 1. The Atascadero Police Department Canine Association will be there with more canine demonstrations. California Highway Patrol will be on hand to answer questions about child seat safety. And we'll also have participation by the Community Emergency Response Team, Red Cross, San Luis Ambulance, and others, all part of the Fire Open House Saturday, May 5th at Fire Station Number 1. We have another fun event coming up that involves our public safety. It is the basketball game of the year. Tons of fun. It's the Atascadero Police Department, and they will be joined by some Atascadero Fire Department personnel this year. And they are going to try and beat, for once, the Special Olympics Hotshot Basketball Team. So don't miss it. On Saturday, May 12th, at the Colony Park Community Center on Traffic Way, it's going to start with a delicious barbecue tri-tip dinner at 4:30 p.m., and the exciting basketball tip-off will be at 6 p.m. Dinner tickets are $10 each and include a tri-tip sandwich, beans, salad, cookie, and drink. And dinner tickets must be purchased by May 9th. Donations will be accepted at the door supporting Special Olympics. And at halftime, there will be an opportunity to donate for a free throw or half-court shot. There's going to be a raffle. This is a very fun event. I know that our police and hopefully fire personnel always look forward to this game and enjoy it, and it's a lot of fun to watch. Plus, the proceeds go to a great cause. Unfortunate news, or fortunate, depends on how you look at it. Our community development permit system conversion means that we will be not able to issue building, planning, and business licenses on April 30th and May 1st. So this is a really good news item in that we are finally getting, after a year and a half of doing a lot of work in the background, we're hoping that our permit system will be going live on those two dates. In order to do that, we can't be entering any new information in the old system for a two-day period. So we will be unable to process any permit payments or other things on those two dates. On May 2nd, we should be up and live on our new system that's going to have a lot more functionality, be able to process things a lot smoother, and eventually give the public a lot more access to the information in the permit system. So we're very excited to finally be on the new permit system, but we are trying to get the word out that City Hall will definitely be open. Other services at City Hall will be available. We just won't be able to process any payments that day, and there'll be limited staff available to answer building-type questions. And with that, I'd be happy to answer the council's questions.
Council questions.
Mayor, I had one. You mentioned possibly selling out at Brew at the Zoo. How many tickets would equal a sellout?
I believe we are planning on selling about 700 this year.
And have we sold out in the past?
We have sold out in the past. We did bump the number up by about 200 this year. We were able to accommodate it with some of the changes that we have at the zoo, it's possible.
Great.
I'd get your tickets earlier rather than later.
All right. Great. Thank you.
You might just mention the first time ever joint chamber event we had with the City of Morro Bay at our zoo as well. I see our chamber executive director is in the audience. Perhaps during public comment he can comment, but that was a good event that staff helped host at our zoo. You want to mention that a little bit?
Sure. On April 19th, last Thursday, we had our first ever joint chamber mixer with the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce. It was hosted by the Charles Paddock Zoo. It was an absolutely gorgeous evening. I think everybody enjoyed talking with businesses from other cities and meeting each other, and of course enjoyed the beautiful setting we have at the Charles Paddock Zoo on one of our beautiful spring nights. We do have the chamber CEO here, Derek Kirk, and as you said during public comment, he might want to add a little more on that.
Very good. Thank you. If no other reports and no questions, we'll move on to the next agenda item, which would be our community forum, which is an opportunity for any of you to speak to all of us on any topic that's not on the agenda and yet still under our jurisdiction. So pretty much the only thing on our agenda tonight is styrofoam. So other than styrofoam, if you have something to talk about during community forum that is under our jurisdiction, we'd welcome you to come to the mic at this time. Welcome.
Good evening, council and staff. I'm Karen McNamara, representing the Atascadero Printery Foundation. We wanted to give you a brief update that we are heavy into the process of getting our research, our reports, and a lot of tons of meetings ready so that we are making our way through the process of getting everything ready to submit to SHPO and the city for our permits. Now, we're not It's probably going to be another 6 months, but we are very diligently working on it. We have an amazing crew of volunteers and on our board, and they're doing a lot of the work themselves, and it's amazing how much money we're saving. But we're making good progress, and we just wanted to update you there. If you've driven by the building, you can see that our great volunteers have done a lot of work getting the windows boarded up. We're almost through with the second floor and making our way through the first floor. Those windows are huge downstairs. They're over 4x8, so we have to get special stock or cut it very special. We just wanted to update you on that we are making good progress because we haven't been here for a while. But we also wanted to issue a very special invitation May 25th at 5 p.m. We will be receiving the official deed to the building. So we wanted to invite you please to come. We'll also be dedicating a flagpole donated by Barbie and John Boots and their family. So that'll be great. And we just wanted to make sure everybody comes. And following, that'll be from 5 to 6 p.m. And following that at 6:30, we will hold our founders reception at the Carlton Ballroom. And Charles is already one of our founders, and we thank you for that. So we'd love you to come and enjoy a free reception of some really good food, wine. There'll be a silent auction and a lot of pictures and updates of what we're doing on the building and our progress. But we just wanted to issue that special invitation, and that's open. The community event from 5 to 6 is open to anyone. We really hope the community turns out to see that we are finally getting this building officially and what we're doing with it. And then at 6:30 at the Carlton, that is also open to the public. Anyone that's interested in becoming a founder, that is, it's the first 100 that donate $1,000 or more will become founders, and there's going to be a special designation on the wall for those 100 people. So we hope you'll join us. Thank you.
Well, before you run off, do thank you for all of your work and all of your board's work on this project. How do folks get in touch with you?
We have a Tascadero phone number, 466-1961, that goes straight to my cell phone. We are at TascaderoPrintery.org on our website, and you can get comments to us there. We're also on Facebook at Atascadero Printery. Email info@atascaderoprintery.org.
And how did the triathlon go for you?
It went well. It was a great, great first event. We had 365 runners total. We know that will go very well. And thank you to you and Charles for showing up and giving out the awards. That was great to see you there. We really appreciate all of the support we're getting from the city. We know this is a community project, and it's going to be done by all of us. But yeah, the marathon was great. It was a lot of fun. It was cold, but we're moving it a little bit further back next year, hoping for a little warmer weather. But it was a great event. We had a really good turnout.
And a thank you to our Tourism Business Improvement District Board that funded that, I believe, to about 15,000 or so.
That was wonderful. Thank you for that, for all the publicity that we were able to put out. That's how we got 365 runners for our first event.
It was a good effort on your part. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other speakers? Welcome.
Good evening. Derek Kirk with the Atascadero Chamber of Commerce. As our fabulous city manager mentioned, and you brought up, Mr. Mayor, last Thursday we hosted a joint mixer with the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce, our partner city just over the 41. It was a great turnout, a fabulous opportunity for us to really co-promote and learn about each of our different cities and learn how to work together and engage. The zoo is always a fabulous backdrop, probably one of my favorite places. To be here in Atascadero and to enjoy the fabulous opportunity that we have there. But it truly shows the great collaborative efforts that we have coming forth. And plus, I think it was a nice little preview for some of the attendees to Brew at the Zoo that's happening this Saturday. I heard several people walking out looking forward to purchasing tickets to that event, which will be a great support for the local community. So thank you for those of you that were in attendance last Thursday. It was very much appreciated.
Thank you. Welcome. Any other speakers? Seeing no one approach, almost, maybe? No? We have one. Welcome.
Hi.
Mayor?
Yes.
You don't know me, but I saw you about a month ago.
I do know you.
We had a good time at your place, and you invited me over for a glass of wine. I don't know if you remember.
I do remember.
Anyway.
We have to have you speak in the mic.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
I only wore this because this is my business suit, because today is about 50 years from when I was working full time. And I used to wear darker suits with black ties, and they were skinny like the Beatles. But now, in order to be cool in this town, or the town that it's becoming, apparently, I used to be shorter, but now I'm taller. But my friends, oh, by the way, the first time, or the time I died before I got here, was 2 years ago when I literally died, and I walked into, where is in direction, because this is round, and I thought I knew GPS better than you people with iPhones. So this is north. What's the hospital that's due north of here? Because I'm confused. Twin Cities. Okay, usually I just use my internal GPS, but you put me in a circle, so it makes, I just got to buffer a little more. So I've got my own computer still because it's my brain. And people keep kidding me about, why don't you get an iPhone just like me? And I kept saying, I'm just like you. And they go, you left me. And I said, no, you left me. It used to be called cell phones, and before that it was called phones, and it was still the phone. And now you call it flip phone, like I flipped out. And I'm saying, no, I didn't flip out. You flipped away. And so I kid them at the same time they're kidding me. And that's why I came dressed like this.
Now, Frank, did you have something in those bags you were going to talk about, or are
Yeah,
you...
how much time do I have? Because I was just introducing myself.
Well, that was a good start, and you have probably about another minute.
Oh, I thought I was just... and then you were going to give me 3 minutes, which I told you, which I was going to get to the point.
Okay, well,
okay,
head on.
This was just my bag of tricks.
Okay.
And I'm going to strip naked to who I really am, which is, I'm just like you. I'm a hippie. But I'm a hippie back when the real hippies lived. And guess what? Those hippies were considered fake hippies, because the real hippies then were the bohemians, and they were putting down the hippies. Cheryl? No. Okay, I'll just do that. I'm just like you, except I'm a vet. And let's go back another 50 years. When I got back out of the service, we had big flags, and we were proud to come back, and they crucified us for the last 50 years. And just a month ago, two days after the real Easter, which was my birthday, a year ago, I was 70 a year ago, the time of the great deluge, or whatever you want to call it. And that was when I entered the hospital 2 years ago, 7 hours before the deluge. And I died, not because I wasn't brave, but because life had defeated me, even though back in the 80s, I was making, at today's money, probably $500,000 a year. That's, I guess, all I got to say. That I'm one of you, and you're one of me, but Atascadero's been crucifying me ever since I got here, because they thought I was a hippie, and I was a hippie, but I'm conservative. And what I found out was that when I tried to attend an NAACP meeting here, I'm going to wrap it up. when I tried to attend an NAACP meeting here at Hush Harbor, and it was their second one, and they didn't know me with these buttons. This is my Vietnam service medal that's been miniaturized.
Well, thank you, Frank. I think we will have to continue to another time.
They said I couldn't belong. And I said, I'm one of you. And they said, but you just said you're conservative.
We get that all the time. Thank you, Frank.
I didn't get the point. I'll do that in another
meeting. Everyone is welcome for 3 minutes at committee forum. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome, next speaker.
Good evening. My name is Katrina Porter, and I'm the owner of Heart for Health Massage and Wellness in Atascadero. And I had come downstairs to talk to the business planning department a couple weeks ago, and they suggested to come to this meeting. So I went ahead and made a short document of what I wanted to bring to the city's attention and to the board members. And due to the nature of the attendees, I'm not going to go into detail, but my concerns tonight are with the local Asian spas that are opening rampantly and the possibility of conduct that might not be a good fit for our town. So I went ahead on the flyer the form I passed out and listed the addresses of the local locations that have been opened to very recently, and a website, as well as my concerns, human trafficking, money laundering, just different situations that I think might be going on that have entered into our town. I know we have had in the past a massage establishment close down. I wasn't able to find the exact date online, so I went ahead and found one locally for an example of what I think might be part of the situation going on in Atascadero. But I just thought this would be the best place to bring it to the attention of the council. I was told that the massage therapists that work inside these establishments don't have to have licenses as long as the owner has a license. So the possibility is that everyone there is not a licensed massage therapist, which could create, for my profession, an entire array of just anything going on, as well as someone not understanding what my profession is all about. So my concern is that I would hope that possibly the city and perhaps the law enforcement could look into it a little further and find out, you know, for sure the legal age of those employees, that, you know, the women are being treated fairly and safely, and that we aren't part of anything that might be hurting anyone in our community. So, thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for coming out. Any other speakers? If seeing no one come forward, we'll close the community forum portion, bring it back to the council. And I do know this is a topic that was last brought up, very much a concern. We've worked very closely with Assemblyman Jordan Cunningham, who's working very much on human trafficking issues. And I know our police department and DA and sheriff's office are working very much in this area. And if anyone has information or concerns in this area, as was brought up tonight, please contact our police department. They will follow up and check things out. And if there's anything we can do to help, we certainly will. With that, we are concluded with our community forum. And normally we would go right to public hearings, but we have none. And management reports, we have none. So the last part of the agenda is really called council announcements and reports. And under that, we have a category where any council member can bring something forward with the consensus of the rest of the council to have some further discussion on. It means it's agendized. We can have much more discussion, as a city attorney would vouch for. And so because it was brought to our attention before about the topic of styrofoam and possibly looking at an ordinance related to that. We have it on the agenda tonight, and we can have much more discussion than we had before. Now, I was commending the Paso Robles students for going about such a good process up in Paso. We didn't quite have it happen in Atascadero, but in Paso, the students did a right thing. They gave the mayor a call. Steve Martin met with them at their club on campus, got a little idea of how to go about connecting with the council, and they were able to make a presentation. Couldn't really take action like we can tonight, but they got a presentation, and then Paso Council was going to consider it in the future. Well, we should have let the students handle it here in Atascadero. The adults, nice try, but not quite. We did finally get things sorted out and connected, and it did teach us a couple of good lessons. We will talk later in the evening under one of our other reports about our city schools committee, and we really work hard to connect directly with our students in Atascadero and make sure folks know how to communicate issues they're concerned about, getting things agendized, and we're actually going to step that up a bit. Councilman Sturtevant and I met with school board members and the superintendent, and we're going to participate directly with student clubs and make sure that if there's other issues, we can have that go smoother. Must be a motorcycle. It's a Atascadero. So anyway, we are on the agenda tonight, and one thing a lot of the cities were hoping was that the state of California would take on the issue of styrofoam, because it's always better to have a larger jurisdiction make policy that applies to everybody the same. It makes everything much more predictable, and I think most of us thought that would happen. I was very surprised myself when the state of California didn't deal with the styrofoam issue, but what's worse is if you are aware of one of the bigger issues we have been dealing with at our Integrated Waste Management Authority is the fact that really recycling in California has failed. There's a major problem across the board with, as you may know, everyone goes to a store, pays money to a little extra tax for a can and a bottle. And in theory, when you take it back, you should be able to get reimbursed. However, that process stopped a couple years ago. So you still pay a tax, but no one gets reimbursed for the recycling. We're down to less than 30% of the recycling centers statewide. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but there's just a real problem across the board dealing with recycling and those kind of issues. Styrofoam is a little unique in that it is a problem with going to disposal sites, because there really isn't a practical use for styrofoam in recycling, and it has some hazardous byproduct as well. We're going to hear, I believe, do we have our person from Chicago Grade Landfill here tonight in the audience? Yes, thank you. From some of the discussion before, I invited him to talk a little bit about what's the impact at landfills. I did arrange for getting a copy of the presentation that was presented at Paso Robles School so we could see the same thing as was heard in Paso. So I would actually like to do that first. And then we'll open it up to the public and we'll get input from you, and then we'll kind of see what conclusions we can come to or where to go from there. So do we have that presentation keyed up? This was the exact same presentation presented at Paso Robles. Do we have any of the students that made the presentation to the Paso? I'm going to call upon you. Is this something you'd like to comment after the presentation, or is there some kind of narration you'd like to do that you did at Paso? Would you be willing to step to the... We're giving you extra time, my friend. So you step right up there, and... do you want to cue our staff into going through one slide at a time? Is that how you would?
Well, I think I have a clicker.
Yeah. I'll just ask you for permission to speak later. Go ahead.
Well, good evening, City Council and City staff. I'm happy to be back here. As you know, last time got kind of cut short and didn't quite get to deliver this presentation that my peers and I have worked really hard on and are really passionate about. So I'm really, really happy to be back.
As you said, normally on public comment, you're only allowed 3 minutes each. And now in Paso, you got on the agenda like tonight, and we can do that. But what happened is, since when the adults approached city clerk, I think they said, well, we'd like to be on the agenda. What's the topic? Well, we're not talking about it. And, well, we want to do a presentation. Well, we require to get it ahead of time. So this time we got it, so we're all queued up and ready. So I think that's an important difference, that it's good to work these things out ahead of time. And that's why you get the mic. Take it away.
Well, thank you, sir. As we were talking about before, the issue is expanded polystyrene foam, which is kind of a mouthful. So we just usually refer to it as styrofoam. It's a trade name. It's actually like one particular type of expanded polystyrene foam, but we just call it styrofoam. It's all the same stuff. It's the white, you know, kind of like lightweight foam stuff that we all see blown around because it's very lightweight. And as I'll get into later, it is both a really good packing material and a really bad waste that enters the environment and we can't really do anything with. Oh, there we go. So I'm the president of the Wilderness Club at Paso Robles High School. We've kind of gone over that a little bit. And I feel like I am uniquely, and my peers and I are uniquely qualified to kind of give this presentation on styrofoam because we encounter it quite a bit. I've organized several river and beach cleanups with the club. So we've been both in Paso and in the coastal environments where a lot of the styrofoam is found. And we do encounter it. We encounter it quite a bit. And it's worrying to see that it won't go away, and when it ends up in our Salinas River in Paso, and it ends up in the Salinas River from flowing here through Atascadero, it doesn't really go anywhere. It goes upstream, it goes into the ocean, and then it washes back up on our coasts and the places that we love to visit and we love to spend time in this county. So, and in addition to that, Atascadero has a lake that's unique to Atascadero. I'll get into that a little bit later. But yeah, styrofoam is something we are familiar with. And if you're not familiar with some of the drawbacks that Mayor O'Malley was talking about earlier, it's a petroleum-based product, which is, you know, not sustainable. It's extremely lightweight and durable, which is really good for a packing material, but also really bad for litter. So it never really breaks down. It's estimated that every piece of styrofoam humanity has ever produced still exists, just as a really tiny little, like, sort of pill thing. You know, they break down into those little spheres. You'll see them in the bottom of your packing peanuts and when you open a package or something like that. Marine life will mistake that often as food, which is really bad because it's polystyrene is based on styrene, which is a neurotoxin, when ingested in larger quantities and especially in smaller organisms. So it's really, really detrimental for ocean ecosystems, which our county and and the city of Atascadero and Paso really depend upon. We visit those ecosystems a lot. There are waterways that are extremely seasonal, feed right into the ocean, and we should assume a degree of responsibility for the waste that's leaving our county and our cities that we can no longer control. So again, as I was saying earlier, Paso is centered around the Salinas River, and it's extremely seasonal. Picks up for like a couple weeks a year, and it's just like a rampage of water that just escapes, and then the rest of the year we allow waste to accumulate. Similarly, in Atascadero, there's tributaries that feed into the river, and those come alive again in the spring, wash out all this very light, very buoyant waste that is styrofoam, and it washes it right into the river, right into the watershed, up into Salinas, now into the ocean. We like to think that it's not our problem anymore, but really we should assume a degree of responsibility for the waste that's leaving us and the waste that we put there, and then eventually we have to encounter again. So my recommendation, based on the research we've done, is that Atascadero should consider doing a ban on styrofoam, as many other cities in our county have done already. San Luis Obispo, Rio Grande, Pismo Beach, and I think Rover Beach have also done these bands as well. So it's feasible. I'm going to talk about it later. Over 100 Californian cities and several counties around the state of California have gotten on board. Unfortunately, there hasn't been some umbrella legislation to kind of organize everyone together. But I do believe that if all the cities and all the counties start to get it together, then the state will sort of create something that is overarching and accommodates all those legislations together. It's proven to work in a lot of different places. Like I said, SLO put their ban in place recently, so I don't have any data from that. But I took data from a couple other Californian cities who have EPS bans. Santa Cruz has seen a 50% decrease in the occurrence of styrofoam in their cleanups. And from 2007 to 2012, they implemented their ban in 2007. San Francisco, more recently, in 2014, implemented their ban and since has seen a 36% reduction in EPS sightings at cleanups. And this is significant. This is really important for reducing a waste that is, you know, you can't get rid of it. It stays around forever. In SLO, the legislation stipulates that anything that's recyclable, like 1 through 7, has to be, basically, you have to sell plastic that's recyclable. And there's a couple exemptions from that, as you can see. There's foam trays on uncooked meats, and things that are shipped into the city can be styrofoam, but anything produced in the city, sold in the city, retail, commercial use, that kind of thing, has to be recyclable, which is super good. The alternatives, of course, to the things that we're familiar with styrofoam, like those takeout containers, there are affordable options that are out there, and some businesses have already taken up using in places like SLO and Santa Cruz, San Francisco, and other cities with banned. As you can see, we put together a little, or we didn't put together, I found a chart developed by the city of San Jose in their research for doing a polystyrene ban. And as you can see, the prices are very competitive among different materials. So that's a list of the different materials and then different items that you would make out of those materials along with their pricing. The only category of product that is actually less expensive to buy styrofoam is, of course, the ubiquitous takeout container. But the prices are getting more and more competitive. This is data from 2012. We've already seen in my research with me and my peers, we've seen that the molded natural fiber clamshell container or other clamshell containers have gone down in price. They're now very competitively priced with styrofoam goods and, of course, much more recyclable, much more friendly for the environment. Some of the economics of the ban, because I'm sure that's a huge concern. How is this going to affect our small businesses? In San Luis, they have an economic hardship exemption. So basically that stipulates that whenever a business encounters a more than 15% increase in the competitor's price, let's say they have to shift from producing purchasing styrofoam takeout containers to a paper takeout container or a recyclable plastic one, if that good is more than 15% more of the cost, then they can apply for this hardship exemption and not have to comply with the styrofoam thing. One business in SLO has taken up that exemption, and every other small business has been able to comply with that with no real economic ramifications whatsoever. And we contacted a couple businesses in SLO. We contacted Costco, obviously a large business, and they said that they haven't changed the way they do business at all, and as a result of this ban, it's still relatively the same. They took all of their existing styrofoam, packaged it up, and sent it to a recycling facility. There's only a few of them in California. It's really hard to recycle styrofoam. It just takes a lot of equipment to do so, and it's not economically favorable to, let's say, adjust our recycling facilities to be able to accommodate this waste. It's more efficient just to ban it from the top down. We also spoke with the food services director in our school district about how they experienced a change in business by going foam-free. Our business went foam-free our district went foam-free a couple of years ago, and so far we've seen really no difference. In fact, Greg Wangard, our food services director, said it was really, really efficient, actually, making this switch because of just the high volume that we experience in the district. So, in summary, basically, we've seen interventionary government can sometimes be really good on a city level. In Paso, these are some examples. We have water restrictions, obviously, for during the drought. We have noise ordinances. We have public smoking bans. We have things where the city sometimes needs to step in and promote the general welfare of the public. And we really think that this area is so beautiful, and I sincerely believe that my peers and I are very, very grateful for having grown up here in this beautiful location, and we really wish that it is not hindered by this environmental blight that we are experiencing right now. It's seriously not that, it's not that big of a deal to change our paradigm on what we're purchasing and what we're selling out. It's proven to be not economically that much of a big deal. And we really think that the environmental and just kind of aesthetic gain that we could get from a ban like this really outweighs any kind of economic thing, which is really very, very minor. So, yeah, that's basically it.
Well, thank you. And not everyone's going to get as much time as him.
Thank you.
In fact, sometimes you want to just quit while you're ahead. I know the Paso City Council was very impressed with your presentation, and thank you for repeating it here. You're going to be well rehearsed for IWMA board coming up here on May 9th.
Absolutely.
So yeah. We'll look forward to that. And again, we have some invited speakers to begin with. That is a little more leeway on time, and then we'll go to the general public, which we will limit to 3 minutes. But while you're here, are there any questions from council members?
Yes, I just didn't get your name for the record.
Oh, yeah, sorry. My name is Gavin Hughes.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Gavin, when you said you were talking with you said our school, did you mean the Paso School District? Who, what school did you speak with?
Yeah, we spoke with the Paso Robles School District, Paso Robles Joint Unified School District. We wish we could have, this was originally for Paso Robles, obviously, and we spoke with the food services director there. I'm not sure if Atascadero School District's gone foam-free or not. We don't have that kind of information, but from what I could gather from our food services director, it was a successful transition.
Okay, thank you.
Well, we will add that to our City Schools Committee discussion. I think the school will be very open to that if they've not already. I don't know the answer to that either. Been a long time since I was a student here in Atascadero. But I can tell you we didn't have styrofoam then, but that's for another reason. That was just a long time ago. Any other questions by council? Go ahead.
I noticed the figures that you had on the cost of the replacement articles, and the clamshell was considerably higher. I think it was 9 cents for styrofoam, mm-hmm. and 22 was the lowest for other products. Did you talk to any of the businesses in Paso Robles or other cities about what the impact on the restaurants would be and why the 6 month period was chosen rather than, let's say, a year or 9 months or whatever?
Well, we didn't actually get a chance to speak with any of those businesses, no, but just the evidence that all the small businesses in SLO didn't have to apply for that 15% or more economic hardship exemption was kind of evidence enough, I think, for the short period of time that we had to prepare this for the City Council of Paso. We would be interested in following up by asking businesses in SLO and other participating cities. But I think since then, since 2012, the competitive prices have gone down on those other goods, and now they're much more competitively priced next to styrofoam clamshell containers. Like, I think you said 9 cents for a styrofoam clamshell container. I believe it's gone down from 22 for that other most competitive one to 18 or 17 cents, which I'm not sure if that falls in the 15%, but it's very, very close. And they're continuing to drop every day.
Thank you.
Other council questions? Well, we may call upon you later as an expert witness, but thank you.
Thank you so much.
And And as I said before, of course we're going to allow some applause for this gentleman, but that's it, folks. We'll ask you not to applaud after each speaker or comment, because that does take away from our time to be speaking. I'm going to invite up our representative from Chicago Grade Landfill, maybe to speak from the perspective of problems from a landfill perspective and your experience, because you've got experience all over the state, certainly in this area. Welcome. Please just state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, City Council. My name's Kevin Eiler. I'm Vice President of Operations for Ellos Environmental. We recently purchased the Chicago Grade Landfill and the Santa Maria Transfer Station, and have been operating those two facilities for the past, about 4 months. I wanted to talk tonight a little bit about a modern landfill and how it protects human health and the environment. A modern landfill is anything, A modern landfill is not a dump. When I hear people call landfills dumps, it makes my skin crawl. As a professional in this industry, a modern landfill is really a constantly evolving environmental construction project. It's managed by professionals, professional geologists, professional engineers, professional businessmen who are committed to, to the waste industry and protecting human health and the environment. Recycling things like polystyrene, plastic, cardboard, aluminum is a great thing, but at the end of the day, the waste that society creates, there's a certain element of that that goes to the landfill. So we want to manage that professionally and be protective of human health and the environment. So what I did tonight was provide a little presentation about how a modern landfill is constructed. Recently, a Chicago Grade, a new landfill cell was constructed last fall. It is ready and awaiting waste disposal. We'll start probably placing waste in there in the next month or so. But I'm going to show you a few things about how the liner systems are constructed and the environmental monitoring systems protect our environment. So if something like a nasty little piece of polystyrene styrofoam gets there, we can take care of it and not let it harm the environment. A modern landfill cell is kind of constructed in four stages. There's earthworks, there is the construction of geosynthetic materials, the construction or the installation of leachate collection and removal system, and then an operations layer. This particular slide shows cell 6B at Chicago Grade. The first engineered layer is a prepared subgrade that is prepared by grading the site to a certain elevation, moisturizing the soil, rolling it, compacting it, and then removing any small rocks down to about a half inch size. And that's what you see in this view. This is a 5-acre cell getting ready for waste. The next phase of a construction is the placement and the compaction of a 2-foot thick, low permeability clay layer. That goes across the cell in 6-inch lifts. Moisture is added. It's compacted to a certain specification of density and provides a nice impermeable layer. On the side slopes goes about a foot of soil, of compacted soil, to complete the earthworks part of a cell. The next phase is the installation of geosynthetic materials. This shows a geosynthetic clay liner going on the side slopes of a landfill cell. Next, you have a high-density polyethylene liner that goes on the floor as well as the slopes. This is a high-density 60 mil thick polyethylene liner that is heat welded and goes across the floor and the side slopes of an entire cell. These are actually cutouts of welds that are then tested by an engineering firm to make sure they meet specifications. The next synthetic liner is a composite drainage layer. That's a very thick fabric that provides cushion as well as a filter for solids that will filter on down through the waste as the waste is filled. You're beginning to see the pipes there are the beginnings of the leachate collection system. That's the next system that goes in on top of the Fabrinet. The leachate collection pipes remove the leachate. Leachate is rainwater that comes in contact with waste. As the waste is placed, it filters down through the waste, gets into those pipes, and flows through a collection tank. Here's the final, kind of the final operations layer that goes into the landfill construction. You can see the collection pipes, the gravel over the pipe, and then over all of that goes 2 feet of a finely graded rock, almost like a large or a small rock, almost to the size of a large sand, and that's 2 foot thick, provides a buffer over the landfill liners. So when waste begins to be placed, it's a kind of like the last protection against of the liner system. Last but not least, as waste is placed in a landfill, over time, as it degrades, the organic content starts to degrade and landfill gas is created. When all the oxygen is depleted and the cover is placed, the thing goes anaerobic, meaning no oxygen. Landfill gas is created. That gas is about 50% methane, 45% carbon dioxide, and about 5% nitrogen. The methane is an explosive danger, so gas wells are drilled into the waste, hooked together with a common header pipe, and brought to a flare by a large blower. That blower actually creates a negative pressure inside the landfill and sucks the gas out through the collection system to a flare where we burn it at a high temperature. We're permitted through the Air Pollution Control District, and that thing's monitored so it makes sure it's destroying the methane. This site in particular is not generating a lot of methane gas. It's about 250 cubic feet per minute, which may sound like a lot, but it's not in terms of gas production. We're looking at ways to use that as an energy source and create some type of a fuel. The technology is getting better and better these days that we can do that, and that's something we're looking into with the purchase of this facility. And then I don't have a slide for it, but the last thing I want to talk to you about, some of the monitoring things we do. Around the perimeter of the landfill are monitoring wells to monitor groundwater and monitoring probes to monitor gas to make sure that nothing is escaping the landfill. And we're permitted through various agencies, the Water Control Board, the Air Board, and and Cal Recycle, who comes in and inspects our landfill unannounced at whenever they want. It's funny because just this afternoon, two girls showed up from Sacramento from Cal Recycle to do their monthly inspection, and it's unannounced. Never know when they're coming. And so I gave them a tour of the site, showed them all the things. They went through our records, and we had a good inspection. So interesting. That kind of about wraps it up. I guess I'm not here to talk about whether you should ban polystyrene or foam, but just know that if it makes its way to the Chicago Grade Landfill, we'll take care of it.
Well, I think before you run off, that was, I think, one question that I didn't have too much concern about, that the way the landfill is constructed, it can handle a lot of materials that the main responsibility is you're protecting the water table and potential water that might be used in other areas. And so that you can have some confidence is not a problem. Now, I know that, let's say a number of years ago, 10 years ago, I would see massive amounts of styrofoam piling up because there was simply no place to take it. At the time, more recently, I haven't seen that occur. And that's not really such a problem. Okay, we got a few coffee cups. These were like large blocks of styrofoam that were used in some commercial application packaging or something. What is your experience in terms of what have you seen coming to the dump? Do you see a lot of styrofoam coming?
What did you call that?
Landfill. Yeah. I apologize, sir. I'm old. I can't help it.
That's okay. I'm teasing.
The landfill. Now, in the old days, styrofoam ended up at the dump. But now, what happens at the landfill? Do you see a lot of styrofoam, or how has that changed over time?
Yeah, we don't see a lot of styrofoam anymore. I know the big blocks you're talking about. I've seen those used in various, construction type activity or for insulation in buildings and whatnot. But the little bit of styrofoam that we see come is the food packaging, peanut type variety. And the biggest pain in the butt for us, quite frankly, is the wind and that stuff blowing. We have litter control fences in various stages around the landfill, and that stuff gets stuck in the fences, and then we have to, I bring in, crews of, men. Had 10 guys out there yesterday just picking up, blowing paper and plastic that we can't let get off the site. And we also, monitor the roads and clean them as well. So from the standpoint of seeing a large volume of it, not so much. I think it has decreased to a degree. And I said is probably the biggest difficulty for us is the fact that as the gentleman from Paso Robles mentioned, it's very lightweight, so it'll blow easily, and we have to run around, pick it up, and bag it up, and then
I suppose that's kind of some good news and bad news of the problem of what little application where it can be recycled, reused. It's very expensive, and you need high volume, and we don't really have that kind of volume even countywide, so that's not really an option in your opinion, and working with other folks in the landfill business and haulers, it doesn't seem like there's very much volume that is ever going to attract any form of recycling.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know what that will do. I don't know if there's even a market for it. That's one of the biggest things with recycling now. The markets are saturated.
If you can't sell glass and aluminum, you're going to have a heck of a time with styrofoam, I'm guessing.
Polystyrene, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that'll be an IWMA question, probably. So.
Yeah, I'm sure Mr. Worrell would be glad to answer that.
I'm sure he will. Well, thank you. Do we have any other council questions regarding landfills while we have it? Well, thank you, sir, for coming out tonight.
Thank you, Mayor.
And a good job on what you've done with the landfill. I know you've really done a lot of upgrades and are very sensitive to environmental issues, and your company has got some good vision for that, and we thank you for that, too.
Yeah, appreciate it. We're excited to be a member of the community, and I'm looking forward to be a positive impact on this community. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, as I said, the IWMA, the Integrated Waste Management Authority, had hoped that California would take a look at this. However, at the point that California said they're not, we did discuss it at the last IWMA meeting, and Supervisor Gibson brought it up, and I seconded the idea, well, let's have it brought to the IWMA board, and that will be on May the 9th. And that will be taken up. I think some of the concern folks have had that, IWMA had a long experience with plastic bags. I don't think the staff was very excited about addressing styrofoam, and so they kind of had said, well, you need to take it up with the cities first. I think that was a mistake myself. I'd always prefer to do a larger jurisdiction. But we do have 5 different cities with a ordinance in place. They're all a little bit different, not a lot, but a little bit different. And it does make sense to, from a policy level, to be systematic and uniform. So if the last 2 cities were to consider an ordinance, they would have to pick how they would want that to look. That will be some of the discussion tonight. However, if the county, which I mean the IWMA, made up of all of the cities and all of the Board of Supervisors, there's a representative from each city, and there's also all 5 county supervisors and 1 special district represented. That means all of those special districts that might be in unincorporated areas, They pick one amongst themselves. That's why it's a 13-member board, where most regional boards are 12. It's very likely they will tackle this, and my recommendation to the council later would be to support that, but we'll have that discussion later. So we can talk about anything under the topic of styrofoam tonight. I'm going to open it up to the public, and anyone may speak for 3 minutes, but I've got a recommendation for you. Influencing not only any city council or IWMA is, I recommend being succinct, clear. You had a great example from both of our previous speakers, but repetitious doesn't have a lot of impact on folks that have to listen to a lot of folks over a long period of time. So I'd say be clear what's important to you personally, and if you want to raise your hand in support of whatever anyone says, that is as good as applause, and I would be happy to receive that. So with that, I'm going to turn it over, and we'll ask each of you just to state your name for the record. You don't have to say anything else. Be conscious that you pretty much have to have that mic aimed right at your mouth, so we may have to adjust up and down. And if you do have anything in writing that you want to submit to the city clerk for the record, you can give it to the city clerk over here after you speak. Welcome.
Hello, we are from Santa Margarita Middle School, Elementary School. I'm Addison.
I'm June.
So this is a letter we wrote last year to Superintendent Tom Butler and Ms. Mayhew. It starts out, we are writing this letter because we feel it would be better for the environment if we started using recyclable lunch trays instead of styrofoam. Since you are the food director of Tascadero Unified School District, we know you have the power to help better the environment by making smart tray purchases for our school. We are very passionate about erasing our waste footprints, and all the elementary schools in Atascadero are already starting to sort out trash we make every day. All of us in Ms. Black's class believe that styrofoam is bad for the environment and the rest of San Luis Obispo County. Styrofoam is not biodegradable, breaks easily, and much of it sinks to the bottom of the ocean and pollutes the seabed. Also, for a fun fact, in 2014, there was 28,500 tons of styrofoam produced. That has to be a lot because styrofoam weighs very little. Food in styrofoam containers can be contaminated by chemicals that leach into the food. We don't want styrofoam because it's bad for health and the environment. The following details of this paragraph will explain why Santa Margarita needs recyclable lunch trays. Some schools in Paso have already switched to recyclable lunch trays to help the environment. If Atascadero stopped using styrofoam trays, we could definitely help the environment. Instead of throwing away our trays and letting them go to landfills, we could recycle our trays and turn them into new things. Did you know that office paper, toilet paper, tissues, paper towels, napkins, greeting cards, cardboard, magazines, and newspaper are all things that can be made out of recycled paper? Santa Margarita Elementary currently produces around 5 pounds of styrofoam trays every day. If Santa Margarita switched to recyclable trays, it would be 5 pounds out of the landfill every day. In Ms. Black's class, this is why we prefer recyclable trays instead of styrofoam trays. We know that styrofoam is cheaper for schools, but for the environment, it takes 10 years to decompose. The cost on the environment is way more than the cost up front. Now we know that we have seen how much styrofoam costs, and yes, it is cheaper. Yes, it is easier just to do styrofoam, but we, the whole class, said before, it's just better for the environment. As you can see, it is better for the environment to have things that are recyclable and can be made into other items as we use every day. All of styrofoam trash is sent to the landfill, or it is broken into pieces and blown into the ocean. If we switch to styrofoam
If we switch from styrofoam to recyclable trays, we can stop this from happening. If we switch, it is up to you, but we hope you will make the right choice for the environment. Sincerely, Miss Black's class at Santa Margarita Elementary School. Letter written by June Hagwood, David Scott, Georgia Wagner, Addison George, and Audrey Dacos. That spring, Superintendent Tom Butler decided to replace all styrofoam trays with recyclable cardboard trays for the entire school district.
Thank you, ladies. And yeah, raising hands is appropriate. If you have a hard copy of that, if you could get it to our city clerk, we will bring it up with the school board when we meet with them. Thank you, ladies. Welcome, next speaker.
Good afternoon, I'm Marty Brown. Atascadero has been my home since 1972, 46 years. I've seen many changes, most have been positive. One very positive change that is sorely needed for our health, both human and environmental, is to ban the sale and use of expanded polystyrene and single-use plastics in our city, thereby joining 5 other cities in our county and more than 125 cities in California. Concerned citizens of Atascadero and Paso Robles, including students, we just heard from very eloquently, have come before you presenting compelling evidence of the critical need to implement this change in business sales and consumer use of this non-recyclable product that takes hundreds of years to decompose. China has stopped accepting our plastic waste. Styrofoam is not a necessity and causes great damage to wildlife, the ocean, and all the waterways leading to it. Add to that the well-researched finding that it is carcinogenic to humans. I don't understand any hesitation to do this. Businesses who sell or use styrofoam products could be given time to change their inventories. There are thousands of biodegradable products listed in the Compostable Products Catalog issued by BPI, Biodegradable Products Institute, a non-for-profit association. We are all responsible for the plastic waste in our environment. Each city must do its part to lessen the burden. Putting this off any longer is not acceptable. There's no reason we can't clean up and start using biodegradable materials instead of petroleum-based synthetic chemicals manufactured into styrofoam for our convenience. The city of Atascadero has a duty to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the community and enhance the natural environment. Let's do this. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, next speaker.
Hello, Ellen Bayrow. And, you know, this is not the first time our city has dealt with recycling and concerns for the environment. And even though the presentation was from the Paso Robles kids, if you went to our high school, it'd be the same story. In a lot of ways, it's the young kids that are pushing the adults to do the right thing. And I think as a city council, you're not here just to listen. I think they want a response from you. And you can delay and say, oh, well, IWMA is going to do it. But our city council could do a letter of support and be an active member of IWMA to make sure something happens countywide. And if it stalls at all, then you could take the lead and be one of the cities that does push forward with an ordinance. I don't think you should delay. Back in 2009, I created a resolution when I was mayor to talk about recycling and encourage our restaurants to use non-styrofoam and recyclable containers, which was successful for a period of time. We also, as a city, reduced our plastic bottle usage, but of course, if people aren't pushing it, some of those concepts go by the wayside. So I'm here to support the high schoolers and our kids and our community to push forward. They see our future differently than we do. You know, I'm 55, so, you know, my life is, I can see the finite part of it. But, you know, our kids have a different perspective, and I think we need to respect them by taking action tonight and showing that we can be strong as adults as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Hi, I'm Geneva Putman from Paso Robles High School, and I'm vice president of the Wilderness Club, and I love doing it. So I'm an aspiring student. I'm going to college next year because I'm a senior this year. And one of my career goals is to be a marine biologist. Now, there is a ton of trash in the ocean. You can't fathom how much trash is in there. In the video Plastic Ocean, which I very encourage you all to watch because it is very inspiring, they talk about this ocean just full of plastic. And it's not just regular plastic cups or foam cups or all these different disposable things. It is microscopic pieces of trash in the ocean. And fish and phytoplankton, they can't tell what is eatable and what will sustain them and what is trash, because they are not evolved to notice these differences. So I would love to be a marine biologist, and I would love to do important work that would help my marine life and just make the world better as a whole. But there is no possible way I can do this if there is plastic and all this garbage in the ocean. So I really, really hope that everyone can come together here and we can vote no on this foam, because it is very deadly, not just for the animals and the wildlife around us, but also to ourselves, because eventually the garbage will come roundabout back to us and it will eventually start harming us. So I want to have kids someday, and I would rather not have them live in terror of the gross plastic and styrofoam in their lives. So,
thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. I'm Janine Rands, and I'm here from San Luis Obispo, but I'm chair of our grassroots organization, Slow Foam Free. This last weekend was Earth Day, and across the world, the theme was Stop Plastics. We need to do our part, and your city council, with as a mayor and a governing body, have that mandate to do that for your cities. We all want to be known to be green and to do the right things. This is Atascadero's opportunity to do that. The landfill presentation was interesting. We can stop our contribution of styrofoam, polystyrene, to this landfill and not be a contributor. Wouldn't that be great? I have a quote here from Contra Costa County fact sheet. The prolonged effects of chronic styrene exposure that many people face that are susceptible include depression, chronic headaches, fatigue, and weakness, as well as effects on kidney function and the blood. Another reason that we need to stop this. You put food into a piece of styrofoam and drink it, if it's hot, acidic, or oily, you're going to release the chemicals into that food. Talk about volume. Talk about the landfill. You walk into to Smart and Final, I understand Smart and Final took over Albertsons, there are probably 60,000 pieces of foam in one store. You've got up the road, Target, Kmart, Walmart, every store is selling this stuff. It's going to go to landfill. I've been working for 4 years with Bill Worrell in the IW Maine. He really, ever since the beginning, welcomed my conversations, my phone calls. He said, not until you get 5 cities, I don't even really want to deal with this. I'm a staff of 3 people. Now we have 5 cities, we need 2 more. The reason why is we're also working with the state legislature. 2011, as a senator introduced it, it failed. 2016 and 17, Senator Ben Allen from Manhattan Beach submitted an ordinance, or submitted a bill for legislation. It failed by 2 votes. We don't have enough cities, and cities count. I'm urging you to be one of the cities. We have 115 now. Back in 2014, when I first started, we had 70 cities. we're getting there. And I told Ben Allen's office, I want to raise this to 130 before the end of 2019.
Thank you.
Please do it.
Welcome. Next speaker.
Hello, my name is Robert Skinner. I'm a teacher at Paso Robles High School, and I'm very fortunate to work with those students on a daily basis. I'm very proud of them. I'm also a resident here. I live over by the creek, and it is a serious problem of the styrofoam waste going into our creek. But I would like to talk to you guys about a couple issues that I heard you speaking about. One was your concern about maybe having a uniformity of laws before we can go into the county level and up to the state level.
Be conscious of your being aimed there.
Okay. It's the uniformity part. I believe if we start out here with the cities, and the cities basically they built off of San Luis Obispo's ordinance, and they're all built from there. So there is a lot of uniformity there. We get two more cities in there, we get Paso Atascadero, then it makes the county's job a little bit easier. Once we have the counties in place, then it's going to make the state a little bit easier. So it's a thing that builds. I would like to also address a concern that I've been speaking with your city manager and I've heard from reports here, is the idea of enforcement. It's my understanding that the city here is a little bit strapped for resources, and you might be questioning, what would be the best way to enforce this right here? And some of the discussions that have come up is making something like city ambassadors or styrofoam ambassadors, something along that line of where the community. And I would just like that, could you folks raise your hand if you've ever volunteered for anything of any sort of civic thing, and would you be willing to perhaps be involved in some sort of an ambassador program to help out with this right here? So we can kind of see that we've got this momentum here going on. And so I would like to make sure that that notion is being discussed tonight. And I'm willing to throw my hat into it. In fact, I will retire from work if it will help make this go a little bit better. So anyway, thank you very much for your time, and go Bearcats.
Now, who's going to hold? Really, you're going to hold your hand up for that? Come on. You know, your mayor in Paso Robles is a greyhound. Just remember that. Okay. Welcome. Next speaker. Welcome. Next speaker.
Hello. Hello. This is my first time speaking at a city council meeting, so I have a paper. My name is Christina Asdel Cisneros. I attended the meeting on March 27th to support the group asking for a foam ban to be put on the agenda, but I didn't speak. And afterward, I felt bad that I hadn't, because my opinion is important, even if my voice is a little shaky. I'm a longtime Atascadero resident. I've actually lived here most of my life, and I'm raising three children here. I have a lot of pride in Atascadero. I also have big dreams for Atascadero. And I would love to see us become a leader on environmental protection on the Central Coast. When I mentioned to friends that I would be coming here tonight, so many of them said, I'll be with you in spirit. They're busy with baseball games, baseball practices, piano lessons, or dinner. But they wish they could be here tonight, because they are as passionate as I am about the way we treat the earth we will be leaving to our kids. So tonight, I am representing many Atascadero residents. Just imagine a group of them around me. Gen Xers and millennials, some with kids, all of whom are paying attention in their own way. We think banning styrofoam would make a strong statement that Atascadero is committed to protecting our environment and brightening our future. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, next speaker.
Good evening, Lee Perkins from Atascadero. And I have over 100 signatures here I'm going to hand in, that people that support a ban or an ordinance. And actually, and statistically, styrofoam landfills are filling up at a record level, and styrofoam is one of the reasons. Styrofoam fill up about 30% of our landfill. And I went around downtown Atascadero last week and checked in with some businesses like Brew Coffee Shop, Circle K, Socrates, Back Porch Bakery, and Guest House Grill. And all of these, I went to 15 businesses, restaurant-type businesses, and out of that, 11 were already using the recyclables and purposely stated they were using it because of the harm to the environment. And Socrates recently turned over ownership, and they said they were using up their supply of styrofoam, then they were going to recyclables. Hush Harbor said specifically that because of the environment, they had switched over. So to me, if that's the case, if this is reflective of Atascadero, like a small entity, I would think that there has to be some similarity to the rest of the city. And as you all know, very often when you do a takeout, they're giving you paper, not the polystyrene. So to me, that your education's already done for you in many cases, and also the enforcement. So just the fact that so many businesses are already conscious and doing this on their own removes that responsibility that you think you might have. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Is this too loud? No? Okay. Hi, I'm Davin Latner, and I'm the delegate for Students for a Democratic Society at Atascadero Middle School. I first wanted to thank Mayor O'Malley and the rest of the City Council, and I'm here to advocate for a regulation or ban on styrofoam. So, styrofoam, there are a lot of problems with it. I want to go over first that styrofoam is actually 95% air, and just the U.S. alone uses enough styrofoam cups, just cups, to circle the world 426 times. And that's from Clean Up Australia, the May 2018 report, yeah. I also wanted to say, styrofoam is very harmful to us. Because of styrofoam's buoyancy, because it's made up of so much air, it can easily float down waterways and into our oceans. It also doesn't even need to come into contact with water. Styrofoam can break into pieces very easily, and that's one of the reasons it's so difficult to recycle. But that also means that, as was mentioned, it can be picked up by the wind and easily blown all over the place. And animals can very easily choke on styrofoam and mistake it for food. I encourage you to look up a video. Styrofoam is also very harmful to us and to small businesses, because styrofoam has dangerous effects on the human body. Two other ingredients that make up styrofoam are styrene and benzene. And styrene is classified as a possible human carcinogen by the EPA. Benzene is a known human carcinogen, according to the EPA. And also, the International Agency for Research on Cancer also classifies both of as carcinogens. So it might seem positive to use styrofoam right now because it's cheaper than some other products, but in the future it will end up hurting small businesses if their workers start dying of cancer. And so I think it's very important that we have a regulation and ban on styrofoam. We're also working really hard to make our city into a tourist destination, and I apologize for my pessimism, but do we really want to be one of the last cities to ban styrofoam? Green is, the phrase green is, it's very popular. And I think it would attract a lot of people if we took action on styrofoam, regulating or completely banning it. Thank you.
Welcome, next speaker.
Hello, my name is Deborah Skinner, and I just want to comment that, this mom who just spoke, I have three greyhounds. My husband is a combo, and I've also been a combo person, wearing both colors.
My oldest son went to school with this woman who has three small children now. And, you know, it just kind of brings home why we love our community so much. You go to the store, you see people you know in some other capacity in town, you know, fellow parents, children of these parents, and I just love that. I just wanted to volunteer to be a part of the ambassadorship aspect of things. I'd be happy to work with young people, maybe subsidize some caps or t-shirts that they could wear as they go out and introduce themselves to people in the community and explain an ordinance that might be put into place. I think having young people do that would be very positive. And also let you know that I'm happy. I've spoken with Michelle for a few minutes, but unfortunately it's been tax season. And so we've just finished with that, and now I find myself with more time to do those things. So I just wanted to offer myself and my time to assist in implementing anything along those lines. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker. I need a little... Oh, good job.
Hi, my name is Alexia. So styrofoam is one of, like, the worst things I've ever really seen, because... Not only hurts animals, and animals are one of my favorite things, it also hurts people too. Like, when I go on nature walks, I just see bits of trash on the side of the road, and it doesn't really just look there and beautiful. And I feel like we need to be responsible about picking up trash, because it helps our environment and makes it a really better place, and it makes it really beautiful.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Hello, my name is Ian Skinner, and I'm a student at Cuesta College and resident here in Atascadero. And I'm here today just to put my... what my feelings are is that me, along with many people of my generation and just my friends, I think there's this sense of it's like hard almost to have hope for our future when we think of all these products that are being manufactured and just the way humanity is going about treating the earth. Many of us, I think there is almost this sense of despair in many of us. And that's not okay. And this, to me, this just feels like a step. Something to have hope is the action we can take here today. We really do have the power to create change. And I'm a believer in doing things one step at a time, and this feels like, you know, that kind of thing. So I hope you all can share that sentiment. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker. And the topic is styrofoam tonight. But that's a good example of an alternative, paper. Thank you. Go ahead.
I understand. Hold on, I'm not ready yet. Don't hit, okay. If you told me, I didn't even know that, I thought that went down by the minute because I'm not pulling a gun. It's a flip phone, okay? Because I'm primitive. See, when I look at that, it just goes by the minute.
And let's make sure, do we have the ready? Timer going there? Ready? I think we're ready for you.
Hi. Let me catch my breath, because I'm about 81 years old. I am 81 as of Easter Sunday this year. Last year, I turned 70, which was the original Easter Sunday. And so I talk slower only because this whole thing is so profound to me, because I came late and was doing this because I thought I was late to try to save myself. And what I really came here for was this, because last week I heard it on KPRL radio, and I thought you were crucifying us. And so these, especially the last one and the little girl before him, see, the only thing, no, he did it right, in that women always come before men, and men are strong. Like he and I were born before the last millennium, i.e. we are from the last millennium, but we work in this millennium. So we are Mr. In-Betweens, and he brought me back there to coach me not to interrupt myself, and I said nothing while he talked. And then when he was through, he was quiet. How much time do I have left? Okay. He was quiet, and he let me talk. But when somebody interrupts me from the old millennium, because my parents went on their honeymoon the first year of the Depression, and yet they were born, my father was born in 1910, and my mother was born in 1911, and where we lived, compared to here, the last millennium, the early people that, the E.G. Lewises that came here to meet Mr. E.G. Lewis, were the next people who created Eden in this town.
And Frank, I'm going to have to ask you to keep to the topic of styrofoam.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Okay, next is, so I've been rescuing people to my house. I live in one of the most beautiful houses in this town, but nobody knows it because everybody thinks I'm rich. And it wasn't until I started inviting people over that they went, oh, he's a hippie just like us, but he has more money than us. And they... Okay, I'm getting to it.
Sorry, sir. Your time is up. We have to limit to 3 minutes. That's okay. We'll have to catch it in 2 weeks. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening. Excuse me. Good evening, Mayor Malley and City Council and staff. Actually, didn't plan on speaking, but I, in taking your cue of trying to make sure that we're filling in some blanks where we haven't heard them before, I thought I would offer a couple of things. First of all, I write legislation, and legislation isn't written because everybody already agrees with it. We write legislation for the margins, for when people make mistakes or for things that need to be corrected. Having a chance to do a styrofoam ban isn't necessarily about putting styrofoam into landfills. Excuse me. Although that's really important. And I respect the gentleman put forth a nice education on landfills. But even myself, who's been a long-time conservationist and worked in Africa, have had my windows down in my vehicle and had something blow out. And we've looked at the pictures that the students put together there, and they're actually on the front lines where they're actually picking up the debris from the riverbanks and from the beaches, et cetera, et cetera. And we're seeing that whether or not that plastic, that styrofoam got there by accident or on purpose, it's there. And the intent of this ban isn't necessarily to make businesses absorb a higher expense or to create more regulation. It's about those opportunities when a food container, when an item gets blown out into our private areas or our public lands, and there it sits. And when we have an alternative for that, which is biodegradable, it's like a fail-safe. It's almost like putting a helmet on if you're going to ride a bicycle. It's a fail-safe. It's something that happens sometimes just when people make a mistake or when there's an accident. And the other thing that I would submit is that although it's important that we try to do things as a whole, most change in life and in our legislation happens at the small local level first. That normalizes it, and it's the petri dish for how we make change. Sometimes small cities, by making those changes, help us to learn how to be more effective on the larger scale. Atascadero has a unique opportunity here to build a bridge between the other cities in San Luis Obispo County and create legislation that becomes uniform, that normalizes, that then allows the state to see how that works and work more efficiently. That's an efficient use of your legislative time and deliberation. And finally, I would say that as a young man, we tend to look at environmental issues separately and individually. But as we grow more and more aware of our environment, we learn that we are a single organism. And then when we pollute it with things that damage the ecosystem, we're also hurting ourselves. So I urge you, and public record, to say great compliments to the Paso Robles students and Mr. Hughes, I think it was, for a great presentation. I urge you to take a step forward here and help to unify this band and help the overall environment.
And for the record, what is your name?
I apologize. My name is Bill Ostrander.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
I'm Tom Colmar from Atascadero. Obviously, I'm raising my hand. I agree with all the speakers before me. And I think it's very clear that the scientific evidence about the harmfulness of styrofoam in our environment, the biohazard that it is very clear. And I think Atascadero can join in with the other cities to help really mitigate the world plastic contamination. Now, to date, the world has produced more than 8 billion tons of plastic, which includes the styrofoam, and according to the Brussels-based Bureau of International Recycling, only 9% has been recycled, while just under 80% has been treated as waste and sent to the landfills or dumped in the oceans. And I think a speaker mentioned about what they call the Pacific Garbage Patch, which is twice the size of Texas, which is full of plastic and other junk. In terms of the cups, styrofoam cups, Americans throw away about 25 billion styrofoam cups each and every year. And as we know, you can't really recycle styrofoam cups back into styrofoam cups. And as you mentioned, Mayor, these styrofoam products are contaminated and they don't really work to be closed loop recycled back into what they were. It's dangerous. Also, I just want to mention, in terms of the restaurants in town, I happen to be at Denny's and they didn't offer me a straw. And I went, "Whoa, what's this?" And I talked to the waitress. She said, "Oh, our manager said we don't offer straws unless you ask for one. There's a law." And I said, "Oh, yeah?" And Atascadero, she says, "Yeah." She says, "We can get fined." And so basically Denny's in San Luis has a policy, and their manager is probably the same manager there, has told them. And so they're implementing this styrofoam ban. And the food we took home came in a paper packaging. So I think, you know, it's very clear that a ban, joining in to do the ban, I think you can look at all the other ordinances in the other cities, get the ideas that you want to have for Atascadero, and the restaurants are going for it already out of their political consciousness. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers? If no one is approaching, we'll close it and bring it back to the council. I've had more questions at restaurants like, "When did you guys ban straws?" Says, "No, it was San Luis City, not countywide." But that kind of goes to show you, I think a lot of folks have just changed their behavior kind of on their own. We will close public comment, bring it back to the council. We have a few options. I don't know if staff have any input at this point.
We are just looking for council direction.
Thank you. It does make me think about the times prior to styrofoam. You know, we used to have paper bags, and cardboard is what was used for packaging. And the environmentalists of my day, which I was there, you know, it was natural resource economics, we said, we're going to save the trees. Now, the trouble with making a policy and not thinking of the alternatives is, yeah, we stopped doing paper sacks and stopped doing cardboard packaging, and we got plastic bags and styrofoam. Now, fortunately, paper has made a comeback. You have an alternative, you can basically do reuse, recycling. Paper can be grown in replenishable forests in areas that have good water supply, and there is that alternative. But I think I always suggest to folks, tell me what you're for rather than you're against, because if you're just against something, sometimes the alternative may end up being worse than what you had, which I think kind of happened with paper migrating into styrofoam some time ago. A lot of good points made, and I don't know, we may have some discussion on that, but I do think it's significant that many folks have transitioned on their own. And it's quite a trend. I'm very active with restaurants and catering, and I'd say it's a very small percentage, citywide, countywide, that still use styrofoam. So I think that is a plus just through what education and information sharing has occurred to this point. The problem with a substance like styrofoam and other hazardous items that even have a greater impact is it produces a cost shift, which means in the economics world, you shift what is produced because you can have something lower cost because it's not covering all of its costs. I think it was a kind of a good point. You know, a paper sack blows out the window, it decomposes. Styrofoam is there for a long time, and to some degree, it'll be dealt with for a while. That's a cost that's shifted that isn't accounted for. So that's one argument folks use where there's cost shifting, and we are encouraging production of something that's not paying its way, so to speak. So that's kind of the economics argument for taking a look at such products. We have a couple of choices. One, the IWMA is going to be hearing this on May the 9th. I would be very surprised if IWMA does not pass a countywide ordinance, though I thought the state would too, so you don't know. I think the council has really a few choices. Could do nothing. Could consider an ordinance, could consider looking to IWMA, and I believe PASO and the county supervisors is very much leaning in this direction as well. Consider what IWMA comes up with and see if there is a countywide uniform ban, and that IWMA then, as with plastic bags, takes the lead on education, information, most likely leaving enforcement to a city level, having a time period that can you continue that trend to reduce, and then look at enforcement at some level. So I don't know that you have to come to all of the details on either a city ordinance or a county ordinance tonight, council, but you have to give staff direction. Do we want to go forward on a city ordinance? Do you want to go forward on a strong recommendation to IWMA that we support a countywide ordinance? I think that was the only issue with having more cities involved, was IWMA wanted to make sure there was a certain number of cities supporting. It's counting votes, so to speak. I've already gone on record at the IWMA level that I would support looking at an ordinance, but the council can add to that or retract that, because you can overrule me. So I think that would be the discussion. I can offer some more suggestions, but I want to give council a chance to talk about anything they've heard or make suggestions of where to go from here. And I'll just look for a light or a hand raising, as our audience did such a good job at. Okay, go ahead, Councilman Sturdivant.
Yeah. Hey, you know, being responsible with our environment is all about awareness and education. Because I remember as a young man, we had no recycling. We had nothing to, other than one garbage can that everything went into. And since I've lived here, having green waste and recycling and trash, it raised my awareness. And what I like about that is that not being forced and not being pushed, I've done it on my own. I've made that choice, and I've been educated, and I've made that choice. So when it comes to I cannot support a city ban just because we have got more on our plate. Even if it, no matter what the boilerplate may be, we still have city staff, city time, and I do not want to get into violation space with our city staff or in any way, shape, or form, or ambassador. So I can support the mayor's recommendation of a strong recommendation from us to IWMA to have a regional approach, a regional way of dealing with this, which would be far more in the education, and we would not be spending our efforts in dealing with this, where we can actually take the efforts of the county, the seven cities, and do something that's more uniform across the county.
Mr. Mayor, you asked, you know, what else I've heard. I made a couple phone calls. I did talk to Bill Worrell of the IWMA yesterday, and also to Brad Goodrow, who runs the recycling station in Templeton, to where all of our blue bins are taken. Both of them were actually at the Waste Expo this week in Vegas. So off learning more about waste and where we're at on that. I would much rather or much prefer to see a countywide ordinance through the IWMA. I am concerned, after talking to Mr. Worrell, that they would expect the city to be the enforcement arm or mechanism of that. And I think, as you know, here on council, we're very concerned about how we utilize the time of our limited staff. I would certainly prefer the staff to be working on other high priority issues we've given them. But I do have to say that, you know, I'm no fan of styrofoam. I'm certainly trying to make a good effort in my own life to, you know, cut it out. And Mr. Goodrow, who runs the recycling station, is no fan of styrofoam either, because for all practical purposes, it's not recyclable, and there's certainly no market for it. And so most of it, if you put it in your blue bin, is going to go to the dump. Although he did caution that the alternatives, you know, usually end up in the dump also, because we have this problem that you described regarding recyclables, that there's less and less of a market for all kinds of allegedly recyclable things, and that more and more of them are ending up in the dump, and some of the you know, of course, in the landfill. Although I don't think the problem that we're speaking of is primarily about the stuff that ends up in the landfill. It's about stuff that doesn't end up in the landfill. And I've participated in the creek cleanup days and, you know, find some styrofoam, find a hell of a lot of other stuff. I think styrofoam probably makes it very small, and the landfill representative could tell us what percentage styrofoam might meet or might make up in the dump. Our landfill, pardon me. I'm kind of conflicted. I don't like the idea of cities banning individual products. That I think should be done on a much higher level. But this is one that I'm open to, you know, bringing back to council and having a city ordinance after we see what the IWMA does. And the reason I am is several reasons. One is, I also talked to the Chamber of Commerce, asked them if they've spoken to our restaurant community who would be most affected by this, and the feedback, you know, so far is that most of our restaurateurs have either converted or are certainly open to converting to recyclable products, partly because of what's happening elsewhere in the county. There is an aspect of us being a touristy place, or wanting to be a touristy place, and folks coming here, and is perhaps not something they expect to see. So I kind of have conflicted feelings about it, about doing this at the city level. But overall, I'd like to see what the IWMA does on the May 9th meeting. Mr. Worrell has not yet written the staff report so that we could see what that would entail as far as the IWMA taking the enforcement burden on, as they have with plastic bags. So I would not I'm not ready to do something this evening, but depending on what the IWMA does, I would be ready to consider a city ordinance on this topic. And then I would, of course, want the staff to focus on how do we streamline it and make it as easy as possible for our limited staff to deal with. I appreciate the willingness of folks to be ambassadors, if you will, but I think overall that might complicate the process, if you will. I'm hopeful that if we did it, that the number of restaurants or other establishments that would in any way violate it would be extremely minimal, and therefore it would not take up much enforcement time. But overall, this evening, I'd like to wait and see what the IWMA does on May 9th, and then at our subsequent meeting in May, give council more specific guidance on what we'd like to see them do.
Thank you. Well, I will make one correction to your comments. You mentioned several times time of limited staff. I would say limited time of staff.
Well, thank you.
Because our staff is...
I mixed my words.
No limitations with our staff.
Well,
it's their time that's limited.
I think along those lines, we have a great staff, whatever you know that, and they are capable, of doing anything but not everything. And there are several issues that we in our strategic planning or whatever have pointed the staff in that direction. This was not one of those things. I think you all did a great job in presenting. I thank you all also for being very polite and yet showing your support for each speaker. Thought that was great. So I'm open to it, but I do want to see where the IWMA goes.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Fonsi.
Thank you. I appreciate the presentation that was made tonight. It was very interesting and informative. This is a subject that I spent some time on since we last discussed it several weeks ago. I think it's probably difficult for those in the public to understand how city government works in terms of prioritizing what we do. We get together at the beginning of the year and we make a list and discuss it, invite the public in to prioritize the things we will do within 1 year, realizing that staff is not an unlimited commodity and our time is short. This was not one of those subjects that was brought up during strategic planning. Had it been, I would probably put this on the agenda and let it be a full-blown agenda item, but it takes staff away from the things that we had prioritized. I am in favor of it going to the IWMA. This is less than 2 weeks. It will be covered by IWMA. I would hope that you would also attend that. I know that you're passionate about this subject, and that's good. I really like to see the public involved in things. One of the things that I find difficult as a city councilman is making decisions for all of you when there's only a few in the audience, and it's very helpful to have you state your opinions. My preference would be what Ms. Perkins did, is go out and get the petitions and do the education. The education is key on this particular issue. I think many people are unaware about polystyrene, styrofoam. They use it, they see it, it's one of those everyday items like paper or paper clips. And if you really want to get the word out and you really want to get this banned, this is the way to do it, is through education. I applaud you for being here tonight. I would like to see this go to IWMA in 2 weeks. If it doesn't pass there, we'll consider it again before our city council, but 2 weeks is not a long time to wait. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, I did want to suggest, and I think this came up at our strategic planning. I think I suggested it, but others were open to it on the council, and that is that we at least take the step of asking our staff to look at banning the use of styrofoam at city-sponsored events. Like we have our Taco Day and we have Tamale Festival and those sort of things, and whether that would be, I don't think that would be too difficult for our staff to advise those vendors, including the ones from out of town, don't bring and use styrofoam containers at our city-sponsored events.
Thank
you. We did hear that at strategic planning, and we have implemented that program. There were a bunch of vendors that we hadn't given those directions ahead of time, so we're going through some events, but putting them on notice that next year they will not be allowed at all.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a topic at strategic planning. Unfortunately, there are a lot of topics at strategic planning, and I know for me it was much more of an issue dealing with at the state level the problem of the failure of being able to recycle aluminum and glass, which does end up in the landfill and does take up a higher percentage and is a fixable problem. There, that just is a market problem. I do think you bring up a good suggestion that whatever we do, there are a few incremental steps. I think city has dealt with it. I will bring it up with the Tourism Business Improvement District Board, and I think they can take a position to discourage with so many of the programs we fund through that board that has to do with a lot of special events. I think that's something they would consider. I think the chamber could take a look at this. It would certainly be something that I think the chamber would encourage. And then with IWMA, we will have our executive meeting tomorrow, April 25th already. I know one of the questions was, would there be a presentation at the IWMA? And I was hoping that you could have the same presentation again. And so there's three votes at the executive committee meeting. So I will support that. I suspect that's probably going to happen. So we'll see the same presentation again. You're well experienced at that. You probably only see hands raised too and not applause, but you got it down. The question then is, I would agree that if for some reason IWMA did not address it, I too would support revisiting it at a council level, but I think we could kind of see how things go. I am very confident that IWMA will deal with it. I think we should give some strong direction to IWMA and maybe shape that position. However, it's always an option for the city to do an ordinance if we don't like the ordinance that IWMA does. So I think most likely most cities will work together to get a stronger ordinance, probably a lot stronger on the major aspects of defining education, information, and enforcement, but we'll see what comes out of it. But if there's any direction from council, either on what would go into a local city ordinance or what direction to give for the county, I too would recommend that we work through IWMA as a first step. And if there's any direction to give on that, I would like to hear that or any other motion that folks may wish to take.
Are you referring to us giving you direction as our representative to the IWMA?
I would suggest that it's actually a council direction. I think in before IWMA was looking for each city to take a position, and cities did it in the form of an ordinance. I think just as strong of a step would be to direct staff to write a letter on behalf of all of the council that would request that IWMA draft a countywide ordinance dealing with styrofoam and working on education and information, and probably defer enforcement to each individual jurisdiction when that's usually what IWMA would do, but that would be a topic of discussion at the IWMA meeting. I could probably report back. I think that would be helpful. I will also be able to report back after our IWMA executive committee meeting. I may have a little better sense of the direction folks might want to go, and then we could give some additional input. But I think a letter would be important to say we strongly support IWMA implementing a countywide ordinance.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I would support the idea of either, you know, asking you as our rep, or perhaps, although again, I don't want staff to jump in and spend too much time on this, but to or have, you know, staff write a letter asking. Or representing our collective position that we want IWMA to adopt a countywide ordinance. I would at least ask that IWMA consider themselves being the enforcement body for this type of ban, as they are for the plastic bag ban. I don't know if they'll go for that, but I'd like to ask them to do that.
Oh, I agree with that. That was what I was going to say as well. I have no, you know, having them drive it and having our staff not being involved in enforcement or anything else, we need to keep our staff, let them have the time they need to do the plans that we've already set forth. So I, too, would like to see IWMA be the enforcement.
Well, a fourth component really is, which I think might, you know, have some impact on enforcement, but another is monitoring, because are we doing better? And I think in some ways IWMA is in a better position to kind of take the pulse. How are we doing? Because they can require input from every landfill, from every hauling organization. They have oversight. That's one advantage they have over a city jurisdiction, is they could put in a system in place of getting some feedback. How are we doing? In conjunction maybe with chamber. So that would be, and I think I'm going to ask our city manager to weigh in on this, perhaps our city engineer. I could certainly take direction from the council. I've already gone on record that I support the county IWMA doing an ordinance. I am probably more likely to be stronger on this topic than the majority of the council. So that also is one issue, is if you have something in writing from in the entire council, is clear this is what the city is wanting IWMA to do. And otherwise, I could certainly represent all of us as I do. Do you see, knowing IWMA and the relationship, what would your input be, either Mr. City Engineer or our city manager?
I think that as long as IWMA knows that the city is on board to adopt an ordinance, I think both work. I think it's the preference of the council. It would certainly not take any kind of significant amount of staff time to draft up a letter to formally document the council's position in the discussion tonight. We could probably get that out from my office in a very limited amount, short period of time. Or certainly if you gave our IWMA representative, he can voice those opinions at the meeting also. So it's truly the council's pleasure on which they would prefer for that.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I would like the letter. I don't want you to put a great deal of time into it. I think you can hear what the council is saying. But I would like an emphasis on education, which has been part of the plastic bag ban, that they've had commercials, they've had things in the paper, they've had an education program that has been helpful for the public, with an emphasis on building public support. So this is self-enforcing rather than punitive or some other means. You know, a $1,000 fine for giving somebody a plastic straw is a bit excessive. I'm not sure what they're going to propose. Yeah, and I'd like to just broaden it out a little bit and say that. I think what we want to do is to avoid piecemeal regulations in San Luis Obispo County. So we don't want one city saying you can not sell any styrofoam, the next city saying you can sell styrofoam cups, but not styrofoam clamshells or whatever it may be, a 6-month ban, a 12-month ban. I think having something that's a little more uniform would be a council goal, so that it's implemented in a seamless way.
Well, it seems like there's five areas we need to ask IWMA to address, and I can do this verbally, but we expect a strong component on information, strong component on education, some form of monitoring. I think we need to set a goal. I would like to see a goal within a certain period of time that there is. We've basically cycled styrofoam out. I think that's realistic and long-term goal, but you have to see what's realistic. You need to see what would prevent that. That's part of what monitoring would do, but I think it's doable with information and education. And then the enforcement component, what would that look like? And I think there would well be some levels of, I wouldn't want to copy San Luis too much, but there seems to be a way to opt out if there's a hardship in a particular case. But I think most folks, I don't see it being a hardship, but we don't know until we ask folks that are involved. So I think that's part of what needs to be learned. So do you want, I think of those components, is there anything else that's a topic we want to make sure IWMA addresses? And if so, is there any specific direction you want to go and state on that? I'm comfortable taking it and running with that, but if there's any direction folks have, I think it's unanimous on information, education, monitoring, and maybe even setting a goal. Enforcement is where there might be a question of, do you, some would say, we want the county to do enforcement. Others would say, you know, we'd rather do enforcement. I think that would be a good one to kind of see how council is settling out on.
Oh, I do not want the city to do enforcement. I'm really hoping that IWMA can be the enforcement arm of this. I want it to be banned, but I don't want it to be an impact to our staff.
Was there any other, was it you, Councilmember Burbeau, that kind of had that same thought?
Yes, I wanted to be sure that, you know, you indicate to IWMA that we'd like them to be the enforcement arm. I mean, if they disagree with that, then I think we'd have to, you know, we would need to address it here. But I would much rather see them be the enforcement arm, as they are with the plastic bag ban. And I do agree with Councilmember Fonzie's point, though, that in writing that, you know, the fine should not be draconian on this sort of thing. But that would certainly be my preference, that you express that we would prefer IWMA be the enforcement arm, as they are with plastic bags.
There's a bit of a lack of logic on that one, Charles, when you say that if they don't do the enforcement, that we'll bring it back and then we'll decide. They've already given it to us, in effect. If they take on the enforcement or they give it to the cities.
But that would obviously be a factor in us considering whether or not to adopt an ordinance.
So what are you saying, that if the county doesn't take on the enforcement, you would like your representative on IWMA to vote no? I'm not clear.
I would leave that. To the mayor, because it would have to come back here for a discussion on whether or not we would have a city level ordinance. That's all I'm saying, is that if they don't do what we'd like them to do, then it kind of puts the ball back in our court to consider whether or not we're willing to have our own ordinance. Because obviously at that point, if we were going to have our own ordinance, we'd have to have our own enforcement mechanism.
Thank you.
So that would be the, go ahead, question.
If IWMA does pass an ordinance, though, can a city ordinance supersede that?
Yes.
Okay. Curious, too, about, we've had so many people say they would be willing to be ambassadors and have done a lot of work in educating and talking to folks, and I really appreciate this. Ms. Perkins went to the businesses, and wondering if, you know, they can somehow be incorporated in that education piece or helping out, because what I would love to know is, going to, you know, many of the businesses, especially the ones that are still using foam, and do most of them say, you know, hey, yeah, that really wouldn't be a problem? And again, that education piece. I think the Smart and Finals and those folks, that's a big corporate decision, and whatever we do, I don't think that's going to impact them one way or the other. But it's the small businesses, I think, that we're most concerned about, and getting that education piece and really hearing from them. And I think this will happen.
Well, and again, I'm thinking, is if, as far as really having an impact, it would be best to work through the chamber with businesses. They understand small businesses. I think there's a way to incorporate volunteers. We'll call them customers. That has a very big impact on, and I think maybe coordinating a little bit with talking points for community volunteers. You know, here's some points you might want to bring up with, you know, businesses would be helpful. But I think business to business, working with IWMA is where you could really come up with serious, even bulk purchasing potentially, where you could have some alternatives that just might make it more realistic. I think there'd also be, if this is the direction we go. I mean, Mayor Martin and I did quite a few public service announcements on water, tag teaming. I think there'd be opportunity for a lot of, I think the presentation, streamlining that down, there'd be a lot of public information opportunities that I think the students would be very good at. And again, it would not be something that would involve city staff. I would see this as IWMA staff really having the framework and then working with community groups to really continue that grassroots that's quite frankly been quite successful to date. We just kind of add some steroids, so to speak, on that. And I think with Chamber, we've talked with the school district and our school district and the Chamber about implementing more mentoring programs. And I think there's a much opportunity in Atascadero. Councilman Sturdivant and I will be reporting on a little bit later of doing some very much parallel things with mentoring students at our high school and utilizing them as volunteers in the community. So I think it'd be a good fit. I'm sure Paso would consider something in parallel for all of you Bearcats still there. Any other comments? Does staff, maybe I asked to check with our city clerk, maybe in the minutes, have you got enough detail that we could work on that I could refer to that when speaking to IWMA, that this was council consensus? I could see us even putting in a form of a motion. I think we're pretty close on that now. I think we've kind of landed on even agreeing on enforcement with a part A and a part B, depending on what comes up. So if someone wanted to put that in the form of a motion, or I can go with notes from the city clerk giving me some guidance. Yeah. The good news is we can do whatever we want under the way this is written here. So you could...
I'd like to give direction to staff rather than put it on them to a vote. I don't think it's necessary. There's consensus.
If there's unanimous...
Let the letter be prepared to go to IWMA, and we will see where it goes with IWMA and perhaps reconsider it or not, depending on what it comes out to be.
And do you have sufficient understanding of what would go in that letter?
I believe so, but I was a little confused. Were you saying staff prepare a letter and bring it back to the council?
No.
No. Okay. No, that was a little different direction. I was going,
No.
Yes. I believe that staff does have, if you don't mind, if I just go through some of the points.
Yes.
That staff could prepare a letter to IWMA supporting a ban on polystyrene, that there be an emphasis on... education and building public support, that there's an emphasis on information, that there is a monitoring piece by IWMA to determine the success of the program, that there is a goal of a time frame to limit polystyrene and other goals, that the fine level is not exorbitant.
Well, I wouldn't even, I think it's enforcement. We got to kind of work on that.
Enforcement is the last piece. Where this is the part where I'm going to need nods. I kind of heard that all things being equal, the preference was to have IWMA enforce it, and if that is not the case, that it's not a hill to die on.
Well, then...
I won't put that in the letter.
Yeah, basically, if whatever IWMA does... that if we wanted to do more, we can do our own ordinance to cover that portion. But I would like to see IWMA do something that all the cities could be supportive of. It's much more likely. Then you can do countywide education, countywide information, work with all the chambers in the county. It's one uniform message. It'd be much easier to deliver.
Okay, so on enforcement, that's what we will put. Was there anything that I missed?
Just one. I'd like to see something about not wanting piecemeal regulation in the various cities throughout the county. In other words, a more uniform piece of legislation.
So the irony is actually Atascadero is proposing a stronger ordinance than exists in several cities, and we would be working hard to kind of get that uniformity where again, it's certainly on the components like information, education, that and the monitoring could be consistent. That way we get a way more potential for achieving the goal. I can deliver that.
I think staff has it. The motion was for staff to draft a letter from Councilmember Fonzi. Does that make sense?
I'll second that.
It wasn't a motion.
Just a discussion.
Well, I'm going to make a motion to that effect, just so it's very clear. And I think I heard a second from Councilman Sturdivant. And then if we've finalized on that, I would put it to a roll call. Okay, I think we're there. So we have a motion by Mayor O'Malley, seconded by Councilman Sturdivant. Roll call.
Can I just double check on yes. the motion? So the motion is to direct staff to write the letter to IWMA?
Yes.
Okay.
And that is what it will say.
Okay, got it. All right. Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Burbo?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno? Yes, ma'am. Mayor Pro Tem Fonzi?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, that deals with that agenda item, and thank you all for participating. And we'll move on to committee reports. And we will just go from my right to my left, and then I'm going to ask Councilman Sturdivant, I'll let you take the lead on the City Schools Committee. We had a lot of discussion there. Are you feeling pretty up on?
We did, and I'm just going to kind of hit the highlights.
Very good.
The top topics we had talked about. The schools were asking about requirements and deadlines for getting their events and information under City Magazine. So the mayor had a great idea about using Terry Banish in concert with the district's representatives to regularly meet and work to coordinate the calendars for both city and school special events, be able to share and promote information for both. So it's more of the city schools who are working together and promoting each other's for the best interest for each. So that was the first. The second part that was very exciting was that the mayor had mentioned about having the city establish a school civics connection, and that would be something where meeting with students and classes and groups to provide them with information on how best to approach the city. So just like something like this, if Styrofoam or something else comes up, they'd have that information or a contact within the city to be able to have that, get the information and feel comfortable, know what to do, know how that would come about. And then the school district actually had a suggestion about having a student ambassador that would attend city council and chamber meetings to give presentations, updates on what's going on in the entire school district. So not just a specific school, what's happening within the entire district. So having a student ambassador to do that. And then the mayor also talked about there being a council member who could, or the mayor or council member could speak at school civics classes, groups, clubs, possibly once a quarter, that type of thing. So there was a lot of excitement about that possibility of having that, the students, right, having that, amongst like the student body presidents, getting together on all the different grade levels, and having the interaction with the city and having that ambassador to be able to reach out. So that was it was a very energized meeting. There was a lot of stimulation on both sides.
A lot of arm waving.
A lot of arm moving. So if you have anything to add, Mayor, then by all means, please.
Well, I was going to add in part of that component of getting Terry Banish connecting with their calendar person. There is a great re-inspiration at the school of student volunteerism. You've got the Kiwanis has got their club, Rotary's got Interact. There's a lot of groups like we heard from tonight that are very interested. There's a culinary group that's very active. And we are looking at getting a lot of resources for Terry on special events, like the culinary club. I could see getting 10, 15 volunteers to help her with all that legwork behind the scenes. And on most of the clubs, there seems to be some potential. So we were looking at potentially having this kind of a win-win scenario. And not to overcommit, a future mayor or council members, I did volunteer that if It would be certainly something through the council, but you could also use former council members or mayors to kind of help on that little information thing. And we were looking at more like once a quarter kind of a thing, not constantly. But, you know, I think a future mayor could designate an ambassador or two of former people to kind of help on any time that, you know, current council didn't want to participate to that level. And another very important topic we hit was parking. We kind of agreed that let's identify every parking space in the downtown, including all of the parking spaces at the school, and potentially open those up for special events. They are very interested in that. Likewise, the for example, Santa Rosa School does an annual event that they don't have enough parking for, but they've got buses, and Paloma Park's not that far away. And I said, you know, I think there's a lot of potential for us working together, but especially if you think of all of the parking spaces not only the school district has, sometimes behind locked gates on weekends when they're not being in use, but we've got special events, I think it's very much win-win. So we felt it was very important to get Terry Banish with the counterpart at the school district, and let's look for those resources, parking spaces and volunteer kids, as well as making sure our calendars don't bump into each other, because we've also had, like, for example, the ladies conference out at the Colony Center when parents are showing up for a soccer match that's been moved because, and they didn't get the word ahead of time. We'd like to not have that happen and make sure we've got parking and redirection worked out. That would just, as we start doing more events, you know, we're kind of bumping into each other a little bit. So there's great potential, I think, for working together. So we, Brian and I really, it was pretty exciting. We had a lot of support. And E.J. Rossi is kind of taking the lead on this. And one reason we're very excited and encouraged that we're going to have good luck with student council, his daughter is going to be student body president this next year. And as you know, Toby, she's a high energy person. She'll be a great one to kind of think and get this new system in place. So thank you for your work on that, Brian.
So I was going to say, just we talked about having an inventory of parking, which is becoming very helpful with all that's happening here in the downtown. So that's going to be very exciting when we have a parking problem and we have to figure out. So as long as we know where we can go park, that's a good thing. So.
And let's see. Anything coming up with League of California Cities? We do have that Monterey trip this summer. I don't know if anyone is.
Nope, that's the end of my report.
Very good. Okay, Councilwoman Fonzie.
Just LAFCO. I want to let staff know that LAFCO will be coming to the city shortly to do the sphere of influence, that we're next on the list. So I'm sure that you will hear them. This will be the 20-year growth margin or line that surrounds the city. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Bo.
Yes, just tomorrow the Design Review Committee will meet in room 306 of this building to review a proposed large daycare center on 3215, or maybe it's 3245, El Camino Real, if anybody's interested in that. That's at 2 o'clock here.
Very good.
And I have the Economic Vitality Corporation tomorrow down in San Luis. It'll be at the Family Care Network. Normally it's at Cannon Associates. They donate their space, but it'll be nice to see the Family Care Network. And just for the nonprofits out there, know that Dancing with Our Stars will be taking applications starting May 1st. And I want to say there's like a one-month time frame, so if you're a 501c3 and you want to participate, make sure to get that application in.
Have we ever had a Chamber of Commerce executive director as a dance star?
I think there's a possibility of an application.
I'm thinking that would be pretty. Yeah. Well, then.
The Tascadero Economic Foundation, 501c3. Anyway.
Sounds good. Thank you. Well, on my reports, we talked about city schools already. The county mayor's meeting, we have all the counties meet once a month. We are hosting them here in the city of Atascadero coming up shortly. And that will be on Friday, May the 5th, I want to say. Is that a Friday? 4th, thank you. We'll be right, actually we're going to be meeting out at the Lake Pavilion. And I've invited Wade Horton, the new county administrative officer from the county, to speak to us and really have an emphasis on our relationship with the county's relationship with the cities. You know, we've been very interested in that. I see the two main topics to be the animal shelter issue, and I've asked to talk about mental health services interface with law enforcement, not only the jail, but our officers in the field. That's been a concern for every mayor about how that has, I think, starting to work a little better, but it was not working well for a while. We were hoping that the new health agency director could come too. That may or may not happen. However, that'll be the main topic. I'm encouraged that the new health agency director is very much working towards improving the animal shelter issues as well as the mental health issues. So that'll be our topic. And that'll also cover our ad hoc animal shelter committee, unless you give a chance for Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie to comment on that too if she'd like. But SLOCOG and RTA, other than we are planning for our 50th anniversary of SLOCOG, there'll be an event this summer you'll all get an invite to. And I think that concludes all of our council reports. Is there any other individual determinations by council or any staff? Go ahead.
One quick question. This is from public comment, so it's back there a ways, but I'm looking at this picture of this young lady who is trafficked and wondered if, you know, there's several massage parlors were actually on this list that were in our city. Has this been a problem in our city up to this point?
You know, when I first arrived about 6.5 years ago, we had a couple of massage parlors that we did receive complaints about, and we worked very quickly to take enforcement action and managed to shut both of the facilities down. There have been a number of new places open up in town, and just because a massage parlor is labeled a certain way doesn't mean they're involved in illegal activity, although in some communities that has been the case. And I've had the opportunity now to be in a couple of them personally, visited them with regard to sign ordinance and other things. To this point, I haven't seen evidence of illegal activity in the ones that I've visited. We always are listening. We have our ears to the ground, and if somebody calls to report that kind of activity, then we have a number of steps that we go through using both code enforcement tools and law enforcement tools to assure ourselves that they're not engaged in that kind of activity, and if they are, we'll make arrests and or take appropriate enforcement action.
Thank you.
If there's no other input, we will be adjourned. Thank you.